We'll learn about a hot sauna in Gay, Michigan. Hello and welcome to Best Motorcycle Roads. I'm Tom.
And I'm Todd. And together we have over 65 years of combined motorcycling experience and 30 years of planning and riding motorcycle trips. We're here to share with you everything we've learned over those years.
Our goal at Best Motorcycle Roads is simple. Make your next motorcycle trip the best it can be. We'll dive into technology, planning, packing, the routes, other tips, and everything in between.
From essential prep to unforgettable routes, we've got you covered.
Before we kickstart today's journey, we ask you to sign up for our BMR Rider Alerts. It's our way of keeping you in the loop with the latest rides, tips, and stories. We promise no spam, only the essentials to enhance your motorcycle adventures. Join the BMR crew today. We'll put a link in the show notes. This segment about motorcycle gear reviews and tips we call the Toolkit. Since we're going to talk about cruisers today, I thought our toolkit could include fairings and lowers. It seems funny to even talk about fairings and lowers now, but you know, when we first started riding, we were adding fairings and adding lowers to some cruiser bikes. So, but fairing is, you know, if you have a motorcycle that just has handlebars or maybe that, it was not uncommon to add a fairing. And so fairing is just more wind protection. When we started riding, not everyone had a fairing on, so we bought fairings to get on there and just give you a lot more protection from the wind. Yeah. And then lowers, something I don't know if you can even buy them anymore, but if you have a standard bike, you can get those wind deflectors. The difference is lowers is really a fixed wind deflector. It doesn't move. You can't adjust the wind, but it will stop that from hitting you kind of in the legs as it would when you're on a cruiser. So, yeah. Anything else about those two things?
I don't know if those Vetters are still being made, but I know like one of my first bikes was a Honda Magna, like 1985, and I had the Vetter like Windjammer 3 or something.
Oh, yeah. And, I don't know if Vetters are being made, but I know that Memphis Shades is still a popular one. And what's cool about some of those is they do allow you to like quick connect, quick disconnect connect. So if you are in the market for a windshield or a fairing, look for those that quick disconnect because it is nice sometimes if you want to ride without them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ride-wise is the section we focus on planning and safety tips. And we're going back again to Travis's question from episode number 9 about the different types of bikes we've owned and how they, you know, differ and like pros and cons of each one when we're taking our longer trips. And so today we'll talk about cruisers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the basic definitions of cruisers, you know, the seats are generally lower.
Yep.
The bike is lower to the ground, less clearance. And your foot controls aren't right underneath you. They're usually out front.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts you into more of a relaxed, laid back position. And then the handlebars are often pulled back or swept back. And it just kind of this, like, you're sitting more back on a couch, arms out front, feet extended a little bit. It's a kind of a relaxed riding position.
Yeah.
And then, like, they usually have, like, a pretty large engine.
Yeah.
Because they're made for, you know, highway speeds and
right. So
that they're not wrapping out, you know, high RPMs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, just think of the cruisers has that longer wheelbase. You know, they're pretty stable on the interstates, and people customize them.
Yeah,
you know, put lots of customization on them. They're, you know, they're comfortable for riding solo. The difference is with those foot controls and the pegs up front, when there's a bump coming, you know, all of your weight's kind of on your tailbone. It's hard to get up off the seat. You know, when you're going to hit a bump or something, you know, in the road, a pothole or whatever. And so sometimes you take that, you know, that shot to your back or to the, your tailbone. But you want to talk about some of the
well, different... I mean, the most iconic, of course, is the Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
I mean, they put the name, they own cruiser. All cruiser you think of is Harleys. And they're cool. I mean, they're just a cool bike.
Yeah.
Highly customizable, like you said. And big motors a lot of times, usually a two-cylinder V-twin. Mm-hmm. Pretty typically is your cruisers and, you know, big displacement. You know, I know the Harleys have big two cylinder, big old motors, which gives them the feel and the thump, and they're loud and they're cool. I mean, they're just wild bikes.
Yeah.
They're great. They have decent fuel mileage for the most part. I mean,
they have great
unless you don't want them, unless you're, you know, running them, you know, full on out. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I've had several cruisers. I started out with a Honda Magna.
Yep.
That was like an 85. And then after that, I got a Honda Shadow. Like
I forgot you had that bike.
Yeah, it was the Shadow Spirit. It was an 1100.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, the swept back handlebars, you know, the sitting down low. You really felt like you were in the motorcycle rather than on top of a motorcycle. And then I had the Yamaha Royal Star.
Mm-hmm.
Little bigger engine there. That was like a 1300, like fatter tires.
Right.
Sometimes you see
usually
that on,
especially the front tires a little bigger.
Yeah. So you kind of see that styling on cruisers a lot. And how about you? You've had a cruiser.
Well, and Brad and Mike both of them had 650 V-Stars and 1300 V-Stars. Yeah. Both really great motorcycles. The 650 might be the best starter bike that a person can own.
Yeah.
It's air cooled. It's two cylinder. It can almost, there's no, the battery is like a stator. So like you can push start it, you know, carbureted. Wow. Simple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had one, I think. I had a Roadliner, which is, so the Yamaha Roadliner, which would have been the next version of Yamaha's after your Royal Star.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went to, your Royal Star, I believe, is a four-cylinder.
It was.
Yeah. They went to two cylinders and on the V-Twins. The Roadliner is what they always called the poor man's Harley. It was a big jug two V-Twin. Funky looking Art Deco had kind of like cool.
Yeah.
It was the coolest thing ever until you did get it on the interstate and then it stunk. I mean, I could never get the buffeting to go away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It just would beat you up. And I had a big fairing on it and just honestly never got it figured out.
It was a cool looking
bike.
It
looked way cool.
It was great. It was really long.
Oh, man.
And, the styling was great. The sound was great.
Yeah. But you mentioned, I noticed in the notes as well, you said the Indian too. And I mean, I forgot about that. But
right.
Indian's another great cruiser bike. I mean.
And they've got a whole lineup of cruisers.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Yeah, like the Chief and the, Chief. Well, Chief, I guess it's Chief.
Yeah,
and
all just different
versions of Chiefs. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. And then the Rebel, you'd put that down there too. That was a great bike. Great entry level bike at the time. I don't believe it's made anymore, but maybe they made a really small 250 Rebel, just, you know, something that you could really get around on.
Yeah, I know a lot of motorcycle safety courses and learn to ride courses were done on those. Yeah.
I'm only laughing because I took my motorcycle rider course in I think 2005 maybe or something to that effect. And this poor guy, he showed up and, you know, the first night is tests. You know, you take all the tests. And then the second day is riding. And, you know, for me, him and I could have probably been more opposite. He was probably 5'2", maybe 110 or 100 pounds wet.
Oh.
You know, I'm, who knows, 6'2", and who the heck knows how big then. I had to ride they had like almost like an enduro bike. And I'd usually sit with my feet, I would sit on the passenger seat with my feet on the regular one. Like, it was like a real gorilla on a motorcycle. But I felt so bad. We went to two different of those classes, and this guy got sent home because he kept tipping the bike over. And I'm like, the reason why it made me think of that is the Honda Rebel 250. I honestly swear I probably could have picked that motorcycle up, lifted it up.
Yeah.
He just could not. It was like he'd ride, stop, never take his feet off, and fall over. It was just like, oh, man. And finally, the guy's like, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to pass yet, so you might as well. And I felt bad for the guy because he showed up with like a leather vest on and everything. So hopefully that he figured it out and got it going eventually.
Oh, boy.
But cruisers are a great bike.
Yeah.
A lot of bang for the buck.
Yep.
You can get entry level all the way up to a really nice, expensive, fancy.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Suzuki, like the Boulevards.
Yeah.
Triumph had some.
The Harley, the big one that I always think of is the Heritage Softail Classic. You know, that's like the iconic to me cruiser bike.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's just, they're cool bikes. The next segment is what we call the mile marker. It's our story segment. For this section, I thought we'd talk about a 2008 and then a 8 years later, 2016 trip to Copper Harbor. The reason why I picked that is one of the, when I rode up there the first time was on my Roadliner, and it is a great, I've got my most famous happy picture of that bike we were waiting. We were trying to find somebody. You know, we didn't have communicators. Cell phone is very shoddy up in upper Michigan. And I just have a great picture of that roadliner sitting in an abandoned gas station as I'm waiting for those guys to come. And the sun was just in the right spot. So
cool.
Just a cool picture. But where Copper Harbor is, if you can imagine where Milwaukee and Wisconsin, Milwaukee and Madison are, north 374 miles.
Hmm.
I didn't estimate it. I looked on Google Maps. Oh. But generally, we end up going up north, Wausau, Merrill. We like to go to Tomahawk. Great supper club in Tomahawk, if you remember Pine Tree Supper Club.
Yeah.
Good old steakhouse. Like, there's a lot of those in Wisconsin. But as you and I enjoy the Roquefort dressing, the house. Yeah. House or Roquefort, because it's always good, right? But then you keep going north. If people are familiar with that area, Land O'Lakes is right on the Michigan Wisconsin border. You keep going, and then Houghton Hancock has a really cool bridge. I did some research on it, and it's the world's heaviest and widest double-decker vertical lift bridge. Wow. So think drawbridge, you know, where ships have to go. Instead, though, it has two posts, and it goes all the way up. It can go from 4 feet off the water to 100 feet off the water.
No kidding.
So the boats can get through. But what is kind of cool about that bridge, I think in the wintertime, when the lake is frozen, sometimes they'll allow snowmobiles to ride on the lower level of it because it's got two levels. So it's a cool bridge. If you're in the area, you definitely need to go see that. It's just cool. You kind of ride up on the side of it and you're getting a good view of it for a while. And then you kind of go up and through. But then you go north on 41 to Calumet. But then you get into that area that's the north part that's really the Copper Harbor. And then there's a kind of a loop when you get up at the top, if you ever remember. And on one side, on the north side, it's Highway 26. And you can go, there's a pretty cool waterfall that's popular that you can park on the side of the road and take a picture with a waterfall called Jacob's Falls. You'll see it on Google Maps if you check it out. But yeah, this is a great ride. We rode up through that way. And then I think on the way back, you can come back over the kind of the, it's got a pretty good horn on it. Now, the first thing to remember, which is one of the coolest things, and I don't know if I'd ever want to ride it, but it would be interesting to ride, is Highway 41 in Copper Harbor goes all the way to Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm failing to remember exactly how many miles that is. But, yeah, you can ride from Copper Harbor, Michigan to Miami on Highway 41 now. I would definitely want to bypass some of the cities you find along the way, but, yeah, you can take it all the way.
Do they have a sign that says at the Miami?
Top. Yeah. No, they don't have that. I don't remember that. They have a really nice big sign that talks about that road.
No kidding.
An old road. But yeah, it would be a cool road, I think, to see. Boy, I don't know. I think it's close to 3,000 miles, though. So, I mean, you'd have to be really.
Wow.
And unfortunately, it's probably really difficult. Kind of like a Route 66, hard to find the actual old road now. But yeah, I mean, heck, Florida's got to be probably 1,000 of that miles.
By itself.
It's pretty long. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but some other fun places to go. This is, you know, there's a lot of snowmobile country up here. Snow machine, depending on where you're from,
I suppose.
But I know when you're up there in that loop, then when you can come back, when you start coming back down, and I think it's actually closer to Highway 41, is a fun town, Gay Michigan.
Right.
Then the joke, of course, they have the gay bar in Michigan.
Yeah.
So that's a fun place. And I've never been in the gay bar sauna, but they have a sauna out back that's wood fired. I'm a huge sauna fan, so heck, even in the summer, if I go back up there, maybe I'll have to see if they'll fire it up. Maybe I call ahead.
I remember going there, but I don't remember they had a sauna.
It's a barrel sauna in the back, a wood fired barrel sauna. So one of those old, looks like a, you know, they make them like a barrel, they bevel the edges and then roll it. Yeah. Right. I'm a huge sauna fan, so.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I love the sauna. I built my own. I've tuned it right now, and we're at get up to 239. Yeah, it's good and good for you.
Yeah.
Thinking about adding some infrared lights now, so I can get that, because, you know, infrared's really good for you.
Oh, it is good for you.
So double add. So yeah. Got to be Googling that.
Yeah.
But no, it's a cool place to hang out. There's not many places to stop in Gay, Michigan, but it's a fun bar, and they have a good time there.
Yeah. But they have some great t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Probably shouldn't necessarily talk about them here, but they are good. Yeah. They're good shirts. So, and then Mike, of course, you know, he would not want me to mention this. In fact, I totally forgot about it until he said he was listening to the podcast. And he said, "Do I suppose you're just going to make fun of me and talk about my leather chaps I wear there?" I said, "No, you just mentioned it. I'm not going to say anything about it." Oh, boy.
I don't think he hasn't worn those
no,
since.
No, I probably went a little, gave him too much grief during that time.
We're sorry, Mike.
We really are. I wish you'd wear them. Oh, well. Oh, what else do you remember from that trip? Am I missing anything there, Todd? What's really cool about...
Trying to remember.
When you're riding up there, you know, that's Lake Superior. So you can see a lot. You know, a lot of roads to ride in that neighborhood. It's always interesting. But some of my favorite, like, memories is riding back down there when the Lake Superior's on your left. And you're just kind of cruising right along the lake. And there's a lot of neat little old towns. It's really unfortunate, really. The towns up there, they're just shrinking.
Yeah.
The economy's not good, and I don't think this winter season did them any favors whatsoever. Hopefully the UTV, you know, the side-by-side traffic, is something that can help them kind of revitalize up there. Because I know they count on the snow. Like, they were surprised if anyone pulls up when we pull up in there on the summer times. But hopefully now maybe more of that side-by-side traffic can get up there. Because it's beautiful country. There's old copper mines, old mines, a lot of neat stuff. But just nobody to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The podcast can be found on bestmotorcycleroads.com/podcast. All the information you need will be there. But you can subscribe on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, Pocket Casts, and YouTube.
This is the interactive segment. We will be looking for input from you. We want you to send us your questions and suggestions for roads, topics, and anything else you have on your mind. Today's roadside Q&A comes from Andy. And Andy asks, how do you manage fatigue and maintain your focus during prolonged periods of riding? And for me, it's coffee. I drink
not recommended in the Iron Butt world.
I drink a lot of coffee. I mean, morning, noon, and night. I love the smell of it. I love the taste of it. I love the temperature of it. So that's big for me. But seriously, having communicators in our helmets, for me, you know, we get into conversations and we start talking about whatever it is, things we're seeing along the way or family or, you know, things we're interested in. And time just passes by and you stop thinking about the pain in your butt, the pain in your back, your arms, your legs, your neck, your hips, your knees. You know, conversations, you know, just all that stuff kind of goes away.
Yeah.
And it helps to focus on the ride. And if I'm riding solo, I really don't listen to music because I tend to... that kind of puts me to sleep. I mean, whatever kind of music it is, I just kind of, you know, start dozing. But so I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. I listen to talk radio. Audiobooks are kind of hit and miss for me. It kind of depends on what type of audiobook. But concentrating on words and voices and that's for me, that's how I maintain that focus and outside of the coffee, I guess.
Yeah.
How about you?
I agree. I really think that the communicator, the talking is the best for me. I will carry a couple of the 5-hour energies. I don't really love to do that, but like if it's like I am literally falling asleep, that does help a little caffeine. And then I think at that time also, and that's I'm kind of getting set up now with more water. I think I don't drink enough water when we're riding much.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make sure I have some hydration because I think the first one of the first signs of dehydration is tiredness.
Yeah.
So I think when you first start to feel tired, I'm going to try to drink, you know, keep water. And so you guys carry a water bottle or so usually.
Yeah, I always have water with me. I know the coffee really kind of dries you out a little bit.
Right.
That's really not the best thing for you, but.
Well, and I know that, you know, that it's sometimes you do that. When you start feeling tired, you drink water, you're like feeling better. It's like, oh, well, I was dehydrated. So, you know, and we've talked about this before, but you're driving in the wind and everything's kind of keeping you dried out. And
it evaporates
you
know, all your extra, you know, moisture. And
So my number one is definitely communicators, but I think just making sure you're staying hydrated. And now it's time for the last mile. It's kind of our way to close out the episode with our reflections. So Todd, what do you got today for Copper Harbor rides that you remember?
You know, I just remember some of the little towns up there that were kind of like these deserted little cool towns.
Yeah.
But I also remember a church on every corner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in some of those towns, it was really crazy how many churches would be in just a little small town.
Yeah, and across where at the Blatt's beer sign at the bar.
Yeah, right, right. So for me, that was it, you know, especially up in that area. It was, you know, all the nostalgia and the old mines that were up there, and you could see the clubs they had and some of that stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah.
How about you?
For me, I think a lot of that picture that I took of that roadliner just sitting there, I remember that. I remember looping that loop a couple times. And then the, as we were talking about saunas, the American Inn in Calumet does have a sauna. So a lot of that's one thing I like about the snowmobile towns. A lot of them have saunas. But Michigan's just the Upper Peninsula is just a little bit different than a lot of places. And I love riding in Wisconsin and the UP. Number one, the people are nice and they're always happy to see you. And number two, it's just interesting roads, you know, and there's some elevations because of the Great Lakes and everything. So it's good scenery.
And it doesn't get quite as hot.
No.
You know, when we take our rides down south in the summer, boy, we can roast sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get up there and, I mean, it'll be hot, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If this episode revved up your day, don't keep it to yourself. Like, subscribe, and share it with your crew. We're all about the thrill of the ride and the bond it creates.
Keep the spirit of adventure alive and remember, bikes, friends, and endless roads. The stories ride forever. Take care.